Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
So, in this book, we're supposed to be going to a war? There will be swearing.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
Today we're reading Chapter 3 of Battle Magic.
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And behold, the mighty Emperor Wei Shu Maoring Guanggong Xian, sixth of the Long Dynasty, beloved of all the gods.
Chapter 3. They remove their army viewing clothes and they go eat. And Rose Thorne's like, we can serve ourselves, yo. And Barahan's like, if the servants don't serve you, then they'll be like executed or something. And she's like, okay, fine. And then she like invites Barahan to eat with them, and all the servants like, what do we do? And then she's like, you serve him food. And then they get ready. So they like get into new clothes. So they've changed clothes like twice in like 10 pages. They go to meet the emperor. I don't know. They spend the rest of the chapter talking to the emperor. So the emperor's like, oh yes, such wonderful mages, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, oh yes, the emperor, blah, blah, blah. And the emperor asks Briar if he wants to join the army. And Briar's like, I'm dangerous enough as it is. Thanks. And proves that he's a mage. And then the emperor is like, ah, I hear you're traveling with a Yanjingyi person. And so he meets Evie. She is this the one where she like plays with like the beads or something?
No.
I don't think so. She just gets very excited about rocks. She's like, rocks are so cool.
That's right. It's because it was like, it's somebody's got like jewelry or something. But it's the emperor. Rings. It's his rings.
Yeah.
Yeah, his rings. He's like, tell me what my rings say. And she's like, your rings really like you. They love you so much. They're so old. Oh, wait, sorry. I didn't mean to call you old. Please don't kill me.
Yeah. And he's all very nice to them. And Barahan tries to kill one of the mages.
Just trip.
I was going to say he did not try and kill him. He acted like he was going to trip him. And he thought it was funny.
Something happens at the end where somebody gets announced in and the emperor's like, you know my little pet Barahan. He's going to entertain you while I take care of this.
Yeah, and then they're like shooed out of a back door because there's something about how like they're presented in this magnanimous fashion, and then they're like quickly shooed away. Like,
get out of here.
Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about this chapter. I think but the first thing that we have to talk about, because I keep bringing it up because I think it's hilarious, is army viewing clothes. And quite frankly, just the number of times that they change clothes.
It's just royal court hoity-toity bullshit.
Because I remember it. in Cold Fire, there's something about like people like changing clothes for dinner, and Dasha was like, "What the hell?
This is stupid."
I
genuinely think they have changed clothes more in this like hour or so over time than they did the entirety of Will of the Empress.
Real
Which
shit.
Is saying something.
Like,
because there was a lot of talk about clothes in Will of the Empress too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, y'all. Instead of going to war, Emperor Weishu and Empress Baronine should compete by having a fashion show.
I was literally thinking that.
Rosethorn is used to being a servant, right? She's used to waiting on people. And she's not used to being waited on, and she doesn't feel very comfortable being waited on. And she's like, I have hands, I can like take care of myself, it's fine. And this reminded me a lot of the book Just Ella, which is a retelling of Cinderella, but it starts at the end of Cinderella. So she's like in the castle about to marry the prince, and she hates it because like people are dressing her and like And she's like supposed to wake the maids when the fire goes out, and she's like, I can just get the fire going myself. It's fine.
Yeah.
Have you read that book?
A long time ago. I remember reading it. I don't really recall a lot about it, but I do remember reading it.
I recall a handful of things, and that's one of them. On page 37, Rosethorn calls Briar her boy.
I know.
You'll recall that on Street Magic and or Briar's book, I said I love every time she calls him her boy. That was spoilers for this book. I'm pretty sure it happens a lot in this one.
I'm not crying, you are.
The Master of Presentations is apparently wearing more eye makeup than Evie and Rosethorn put together. It's a lot of eye makeup.
Laying it on thick.
See, fashion show.
I think it would work. It's a good way to settle your differences.
Yeah. We can get all the competing out, but then we can still like love each other and celebrate this shared interest in fashion.
Yeah.
And clothing and makeup. Great. On page 41, Evie says that she wants to be Rosethorn when she grows up. Which is fun.
Me too.
Don't we all? which is fun because in Melting Stones she says she wants to be Luvo when she grows up.
Mm-hmm.
But also, given the course of Melting Stones, like, Evie is well on track to becoming Rosethorn.
Yes.
They mentioned the Urhu and the Pipa. Those are real instruments.
Real Chinese That's cool. instruments.
I will spend a couple of minutes talking about those. I'm not going to lie to you. If you don't want to listen to me nerd out about music, musical instruments, especially historical significance of musical instruments, then you'll want to skip over my parts.
I'm very excited about you telling us more. I went down I spent like an hour on YouTube just watching videos. Also, it made me want to rewatch Kubo and the Two Strings, if anybody hasn't seen it, because he plays the Urhu.
Holy shit, that movie is so good.
So good! On page 45, Briar, I shake to think of the mischief I could find with conventional weapons. Yes.
That's a mood.
Just yes.
That is a
literally,
mood.
Literally me. Oh my god.
And it's called battle magic. We might see him with conventional weapons. We might not. We don't really have to. He's gonna fuck shit up. We already know.
I can be trusted with high explosives. It's fine.
Goodwin, I'm going to be honest. I would trust you with high explosive before I would trust anybody else in this group with high explosives.
That is the nicest thing you have ever said to me.
And then the last one I have is on page 47, Briar wonders if his spine is going to curve from all the bowing.
Yes.
Right in the beginning, the first and second paragraphs of Tamara Pierce talking about Rosethorn and like, Tamara Pierce's strength is writing character interactions with like fun, interesting characters. Seeing how Rosethorn can like get the attention of, know how to like work around the servants that are serving everyone food and like ignoring Parahan,
and like getting them to do it without actively like having to tell them to do it, just like getting their attention. And like we know that Rose Sword would know how to do this because she's been around this sort of stuff. She doesn't love it, but she's been there. And like I Tamara Pierce's ability, like I feel like her strength is just like these character to character interactions when there's like a bunch of people in the same room. Like she knows what she's doing and she's really great at it. Evie pouting when she gets her new meal after having her cake and candy and berries taken away. And then she gets twice cooked fish, water reed shoots, and sliced turnips in sauce. And just her pouting.
I know that feel. Oh my goodness. Malia,
the feel of Evie or the feel of Rose Thorn?
The feel of Rose Thorn, my child. If I let her choose what she was to eat, she would also be choosing stuff that would just rot her teeth out as well. I'm like, girl, you've got to eat actual food. You can't just eat junk all the time. But mommy, that's not fair. I don't want to eat that. It doesn't taste as good.
That's too
damn good. They do eat it, and then they're like, this is delicious.
Right? Evie's pouting about fish. Malia's like, I don't like fish. And I tell her it's chicken. And she's like, ooh, I have two pieces of it. It's so good. I'm like, guess what? You just
it was fish.
It was fish the whole time. Oh, fish is good. Like, yeah, I know you like fish. And then the next time we eat it, she's like, I don't like fish. I'm like, girl, I know better. You like fish.
She doesn't say it, but Rose Thorn kind of feeling like being waited on, itched in all the places where her vows had become part of her.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's clearly like a public servant first, you know.
That fucking line is beautiful.
Because mm-hmm. We know her. We're like, yeah, she doesn't like this.
Yeah.
Briar winking at Rose Thorn and making her smile.
Aw, what a good son.
Mm-hmm. We already talked about the he was her boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was her boy.
The Emperor has an interesting name. Weishu is like one of the most important like stories in like ancient Chinese literature.
Oh.
The story of Wei. Maoran didn't find anything for that. And I'm just using Google, by the way. Maoran didn't stand for anything as far as I could tell. Guanggong is the name given to one of the generals of Liu Bei from also the Warring States period in ancient China. Xian. No, it's Kurdish origin. But yeah, very clearly Chinese inspired, in case that wasn't obvious enough already.
Yeah, I didn't know all those things about the different names.
Yeah. Briar wondering if the emperor had his voice magicked to sound good. And then thinking like, I'm being petty. It's fine. But was he though?
Man, I mean, I could definitely see that being the case. Also, do we know how old Weishu was?
50.
Yeah, like
I said, he was 50.
40s.
Because nope, I mean,
50. It said 50.
Okay.
He surely has also some kind of magical cosmetics or something to make him look younger. I don't know if it specifies anything about that. I don't remember, but.
He doesn't just have a retinue of mages for fun. Like I'm sure he makes them do stuff to make them look better and sound better. Talking about how Rose Thorn like staying in bed until noon. Literally me today. I did that.
I think it was sarcasm, but yes.
Well, I stayed up till noon.
I can't even do that anymore. The kid, even the weekends I don't have the kids, I'll wake up at 5:30 like I do when I go to work. I'm like, why am I awake?
Yeah. Allie,
I can sleep in.
Allie does the same thing. Like she can.
Like I used to not be that way. I used to be able to sleep in, stay up late. I can't stay up late anymore. Like I start getting, I'm getting old. I don't like it. I go to bed early and get up early.
My sleep schedule has been so fucked since like work's been slow. Like I'm just like sending emails at like 2 a.m. It's bad. Briar thinking about Rose Thorn again. Someone who hates this stuff, She does it really well. Yeah, Rosorn just being very gracious. Again, with the Parahan trying to trip the mage, and the mage just being like, don't even try. And he's just,
yeah,
he's just smiling, like, just kidding, just a prank, bro. It's fine.
What? Why do you take these things so personally?
Yeah, God, I'm literally chained up. He's got, you know, he's trying to have some fun, as much as a prisoner in golden shackles can have, right?
Yeah.
The first thing was the not presenting them immediately is like a show of power. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm super busy. I had to take care of something important first. Oh goodness. And then like shoos them out the back door like you're not even important enough to like keep around. Fuck off now. I'm done with you. I put quote army viewing clothes, end quote. Lol.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know what it's about, but the only note I have is Rosethorn is a boss bitch. But yeah, it's the being able to bully people around by looking at them. She's just so cool, guys. Just so cool. Okay. One note says Briar and Rosethorn with a little heart. And then the next one says Briar and Rosethorn. Lol. I'm not sure the differential between these two, but also I feel that's a good summification of their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The note of we stan a bisexual queen. All hail Rosethorn.
Mm-hmm.
All hail.
Evie wants to be like Rosethorn when she grows up. Me too, Evie. Me too.
Me three.
For some reason, Briar liking the Yangzhini music tracks for me. Like, that makes sense, and I'm not sure why.
Well, he didn't like Yangxian music, so, you know.
Yeah.
He must like something, shortly.
Hopefully. Briar, a nice, respectable boy.
Yeah.
As far as you know.
I already get into plenty of trouble with plants. I shake to think of the kind of mischief I would find with conventional weapons. Yep. I feel that truer words have never been said by Briar.
Yep. Yeah.
Stone gets pretty bored. Huh, Evie, is that relatable to you? and then there's the matched set. Comment. Mm.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oof. Bro. Oof. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now here's where the music note comes in. Listen, I love that she picked the Pippa and Eriku because for those who are not familiar, these are stringed instruments. Traditional Chinese stringed instruments. You find several iterations across most of Asia with different names, with different body styles. Like the one I most commonly think of is the Mongolian version, and I cannot hold. I'm actually going to look that up because I can't think right now. I'm going to butcher it. Kircher. It's essentially known as the horse head fiddle. Like this is the Mongolian version, and oh my god, it's beautiful. I loved it. Like this is music, man. the ability to create the vast variety of sounds out of two strings.
Yeah.
Is insane. It is most traditionally played alone, but have been featured in like orchestras and stuff like that. The erhu is one of the more popular of, or is the most popular of the two. The pepa is kind of more shaped like, it's kind of shaped like a lute, for lack of a better way to put it. It has been played for over 2,000 years. Like this is a household item. Like This is just, it's been used since the Song Dynasty. There we go. But the thing that I wanted to bring up specifically in this, not just to talk about my love for music for 20 minutes, is that these are referred to as silk instruments, meaning they are played with silk strings. The wealth of the people who typically play a traditional one, there are a reason that, like, for a long time these were court instruments for emperors and such. Like, silk strings are not cheap, especially not as far back as these go. But yeah, I feel this is another show of, like, wealth and power that he has.
Yeah.
For these to be in his court.
Well, and one of the things that I heard on one of the videos I watched is that the, like, box on the Urhu is traditionally made of python skin.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is also a bit of a, this isn't an as easily obtained material.
No, this is this. These instruments are insane.
I liked that Farhan got Evie to talking about her magic, and she was so distracted that she was even eating her vegetables. So cute. Like, I need to distract my children so they also eat their vegetables. I like when Briar keeps stealing Rose Thorn's food. It's like, it's bad manners to leave this wonderfully cooked food on the plate and you're toying with it. And he just keeps eating her food.
He's great.
He's good, so great. Son. Like, I don't blame him. Like, hey, you're not eating this food and it's delicious. I'm going to eat it then because I don't have no more. So let me eat it.
I also feel like that is a, he's protecting her in a way. Because, like, if she doesn't eat her food, because we know that, like, this bitch died, nothing, like, it's not, she's not good. And so I think it's kind of like that, you're just playing with your food when she's not hungry to make her not come across as weak to the servants, so it doesn't get back to the emperor. So I think there's twofold for that.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, because, like, we talked about Briar's response when Weishu's like, oh, do you want to, like, join the army and all this? And, like, does Weishu know how dangerous Briar is? Because Barony knew exactly how dangerous all of them were. Well, mostly. Yeah. She still underestimated them. But
yeah.
It makes me wonder how much he already knows about them.
Yeah. My next one is when they're fixing to go meet with the emperor, and Rose Thorn is teasing Evie and Briar. It's like, of course, I still only have to wear a shift and a single robe. And Evie's like, no!
What a jerk Rose Thorn is.
We now know the true reason why Evie wanted to become a dedicate.
She's like, I don't have to wear all this shit no more. I can just wear the single thing when I go to fancy places. It's fine.
I mean, legit.
I mean, yeah, same.
My next one is a dislike. I feel like last chapter we were talking about gilded cages.
Mm-hmm.
And this chapter, Parahan literally has a gilded cage. Parahan's like, that one over there? Like, pointing out the cage. Like, oh my gosh, this is so horrible. A cage with a little chamber pot in there, so everyone just gets to watch you do your business. Is so demeaning.
I thought he was joking at first. I was like, is that, no. You're just joking?
No.
That's actually
no, it's cage. Horrible.
And
later on, like, yeah, when I'm not busy with you guys, I just get put into this little cage here. Like, oh my god. It's horrible.
I would go so batshit. Just batshit insane.
Literally in a gilded cage.
The way that people treat prisoners of war is appalling.
But apparently that's an upgrade.
Yeah.
Is what he said. So
that's the worst part.
That's an upgrade.
That makes it worse.
I know.
This is bad. I thought Baronine was bad. This is real bad.
This is so bad. So bad. And my next one is another dislike where they get to the Emperor and Briar notices, looks over and sees Parahan knelt on the floor and he had an addition to his wardrobe, which is a chain that's fastened to the collar, and then that chain goes and wraps around the Emperor's left wrist. Like, it's a dog.
It's like Jabba the Hutt and Princess Leia.
Yeah. This man is treating another human being as if they were a pet. I don't know. An animal? It's cruel, and I don't like it. It's very bad. It's very, very bad.
It's giving yikes. It's giving bad.
A little bit. And I I like, all right, I love the villains. They're so great. I aspire to be them. This is a whole new level. Like, I don't want to be treating prisoners as dogs. That's a little too far. Murdering children, fine, sure, whatever. But treating but at least humans you just kill dogs, them. That's crossing a line.
Yeah. Circle of Magic has a fair amount of antagonists, but I feel like it only has two, like, true villains.
Yeah.
There are two big monsters of this entire series, and I feel like we have met the second one now.
But do you, I wonder if you agree with me about who the first one is.
Lady Zanadia, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I wasn't sure if somebody was going to be like Baronine, but
even her, it's
Baronine is a psycho, but
she's not evil.
No, she's just trying to keep Sandry there. I can see it from both
sides. She's a shrewd politician, which is the nicest thing you can say about her.
But she's not evil. She's not getting kids to murder each other in the street. Yeah. So,
right. There's a lot of political machinations behind why she's doing what she's doing.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really seem to take pleasure in people's pain. But Weishu and Zanadia, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. Huh. Anyway, my next one is a like. We read it in our excerpt last week where Briar says, "Yet she has trained me very well. I learned manners under many blood-curdling threats." And I like the response to it from the Emperor saying, "She does not seem so terrifying to me." And Briar's like, "She fools a lot of people that way."
She does.
She's perfectly pleasant when she has to.
Uh-huh.
But you piss her off, you know. You're going to get caught in her brambles.
Her thorns. Her rose thorns.
This rose has thorns, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yep.
There it is. Why? It was literally,
right there.
Her name right there.
Yeah, come on. Come on, Goodwin.
That was not a wrinkle. That was a smooth brain move. Very smooth. Very smooth.
My next one is when Evie starts getting all excited about rocks and stuff. Briar thought he might swell up completely with pride in her. He loves his students so much.
He really does. He's such a
teacher. And this one was already mentioned, but again, where... the Emperor says, "The leash may come off. Oh, he was going to be a king, but his uncle sold him, and now we're looking for his sister so I can have a matching set." Like, this man, oh my goodness.
That's fucked, yo.
So fucked. Again, just treating this person like he's not even a person. I just need a matching set. Like,
that's crazy.
The fuck? Like, my guy. Oh my god.
Fun times.
Yes.
This is going to be great. Sure. I don't see any problems happening in the future.
There's not going to be any war with this emperor guy. Everything's super chill. Everything's super calm.
No,
I don't know.
It's called battle magic because they have a faction battle.
A faction battle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We watch a lot of, like, the couture fashion shows with some of the most ridiculous shit. I just imagine, like, two walkways, one for each and at the end they like turn and they look at each other and it's like, and then they walk back, like,
yes.
Or they make some kind of like at each other and then walk back.
No, they're gonna do like Drag Race and they're gonna lip sync for their life.
Lip sync to fucking zither music.
Yeah, except that they're gonna have to lip sync to each other's music.
Yeah. Yes. So, yes.
So the Yan Xingyi one is gonna have to lip sync to the Name Ornese music, and then the Name Ornese person's gonna have to lip sync to the Yan Xingyi music.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Like yeah. This.
I'm down for this.
Something.
Yes.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
Mine is pretty close to the one I got last week, except it's ceremony and tradition this time.
That was mine as well.
Mine was ceremony, because it's just a bunch of...
Yeah, are you pulling an Indy? Are you pulling an Indy?
No way.
Yes! Let's go!
I wrote humility and lack thereof.
Oh.
Oh, bro, but yeah.
Because Briar and Co. have to be very humble, because the Emperor is not humble, and then there's Parahan being humbled.
That was good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
part three of our three-step reading process.
Well, that was fast.
Like a mage.
That was really fast.
It's so fast. Part two was so fast.
That's how we do sometimes, though.
I know it.
I was going to say, two tends to be our fastest.
It does.
Yeah.
One tends to be our longest, and two tends to be our shortest.
Well, I feel kind of bad, but this one is, like, shorter than our short ones, though.
It's so like a minute long.
Music. Oh, this is one of his music again, like, okay, that was really fast. All right.
I mean, if we want, I could just cut the two of them together.
But no, because then that breaks up the formula. Every single episode has been like that. We can't change it up now because it's going to be a couple seconds long.
Molly, you should leave this in there so it's a little bit longer.
We gotta pad out time, okay? We need time for our ads to play. let's talk about zithers and other Chinese instruments some more.
Or whose?
Yeah.
It does.
Fermented.
I kind of interrupted you with your part three. I was talking over you. So
yeah, so I'm gonna have to leave this in here anyway.
Done. Yeah, please so.
Yeah.
Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic were you able to craft out of this chapter? I apparently crafted finger guns.
Mine, I feel, is pretty poignant of the state of the world in general. But also kind of a reminder for me that putting a man in shackles does not mean he is tame.
I love that.
I feel like sometimes we forget that kindness is not weakness, and that taking advantage of someone's kindness is not good. Because you don't know what's going to happen when they reach the end of that patience. Just because you have had your kindness and your accepting and your patience and your love tested over and over again, finally lashing out does not make you a bad person. There was a quote I read some time ago where it was, I want my anger to be a weapon. My kindness is not weakness. My kindness is love. And so the moment I am angry, I want it to be weighty and heavy. That is something I have been trying to work towards. I feel like I'm a much kinder person than I used to be, but at the same time, I feel like my anger is still very volatile in places. And so I need to work on that. I also feel like we should just not put people in chains.
I mean, that seems like a good plan.
That's right. We shouldn't just ruin people's lives because we have the money and power and ability.
I mean, I can think of a few people's lives who could use some ruining.
I mean, yeah.
But they're the people who already have the money and the power.
Yeah. I'm not going to get much more than that. I've already lost two friends this week. So we don't need to isolate our listeners. So
mine is, prior again, talking about Rose Thorn. Wow. Good guess. For someone who hates this stuff, Briar thought with pride, she does it really well.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can seem very like forward and open and like happy and like able to talk to people and stuff, but like it's really not something I enjoy. You can't tell. I guess it's because I'm just that good at it. But I am just happy being alone at home, hanging out, watching TV, playing video games, talking to people, but like meeting new people and like being cordial and everything. Like I'm really good at it. I'm good at it, but that doesn't mean that I enjoy doing it. Like I could be professional, I could do my job well, because my job involves literally talking to every single person involved in buying or selling a home. I'm great at it. job can be kind of contentious sometimes. It's rare that I ever have an issue with another agent. I do it well, but it's not my favorite thing, which is sort of a weird thing to say for, like, you know, what is essentially my career. But everything besides the talking to people part, I love. Like, I love seeing houses. I love seeing the conditions they're in. I love getting someone a good deal. I enjoy watching someone get, like, a home and be like, hey, we live here now. Like, we're earning equity. This was a good financial decision. We love it. Thank you. And it's like, yeah, yay! I love it. I love it. That's why I do it. But, like, I don't like talking to people. It's not my favorite thing, especially new people. It's just... But I it felt like that was calling me out. I literally put, literally me was my note on that sentence. But yeah, I could relate to it.
Mine's kind of in the same vein. It's just about, like, how sometimes you just have to, like, be fake because power issues. Sometimes you have to pretend to be humble and modest and little and weak and stupid and whatever, because the people in power kind of expect you to be. And I absolutely detest that. I also detest small talk, and I'm not good at it. When people small talk with me, it's usually like, hi, how are you? Good. How are you? Good. Okay, I'm gonna go now.
End of conversation.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, pause, beep. Okay. I hate small talk. I hate having to be fake. And I hate having to be fake because there's somebody else in power who won't accept that I may be more knowledgeable or more whatever than them.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to do it. Sometimes you have to bow down to the person who thinks they're the emperor, whether or not they are.
Ain't that the truth?
So mine comes from where Rosethorn is having Parahan be served. They usually wouldn't do that kind of thing for him because he is not a regular guest. He's a slave. So they're like, I don't like this. This is weird. I don't know. It made me feel like, on a smaller scale, like, if we see people that aren't being included in things, like, hey, come over here. We're going to include you in this. Because I catch myself doing that a lot. Like, oh, well, these people don't want to talk to that person, so I'm not going to talk to them either, because then I would look weird if I talked to them or something. So Brittany. I'm going to include them too. What?
That is literally how we became friends. What you're describing is literally how we became friends.
I guess I do that already. So I need to do it more because I might find another friend.
We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 4 of Battle Magic. So the audiobook is one person, which is highly disappointing because I'm used to multicast audio.
Yes.
And I am positive that they did a full cast audio of this book and that I listened to a section. And this section is the section that I'm very, very sure that I heard. Rosethorn had to wonder if she was meant by her gods to spend her entire visit to the Winter Palace in a towering state of vexation. For one thing, when the Emperor said they would visit his gardens, he meant that he, Rosethorn, and Briar, as well as a gaggle of mages and courtiers, watched as gardeners dealt with the plants. If she even touched one, the gardeners hovered as if they feared she might break it. For another thing, she and Briar had been forced to wear silk again today because they were in the Imperial presence. She should have known that they would not be allowed to get dirty when the maids placed silk clothes before them that morning. Third, she was deeply unhappy with the mages who dogged their tracks. They drowned the voices of the wind and the leaves and flowers of the garden with the constant click of their strings of beads. She had heard that Eastern mages favored beads imprinted with spells and strung together to be worn on neck and wrist. She had seen local mages twirling short strings of spell beads during their journey down from Ice Lion Pass. Court mages wore ropes of them, Apparently, Rosethorn and Briar in a garden were considered far more dangerous than Rosethorn and Briar in a throne room. As if we couldn't have turned those potted plants into weapons, Rosethorn thought as the breeze carried another burst of hollow clicks to her ears. She rounded on the mages. I can't hear a thing these plants say with that unending noise, she informed them. All around her, the Emperor's prized roses, brought at great expense from far Sharon and raised more carefully than most children, trembled and reached for her across the stone borders of the path. The courtiers shrank closer together, terrified of touching those priceless blooms. Wei Shu looked on, his face emotionless. Briar raised his hands to both sides of the path. The roses halted their movement and waited, trembling. Rosethorn had not taken her eyes off the mages. What are you doing with those things? She demanded. I'm not working magic. If you were, you couldn't distract me with your noisemakers. They're not noisemakers, said the youngest of them, a woman. Our magic is inscribed in the marks on each bead. The greater the mage, the more inscriptions, the more spells on a bead, and the more beads. Rosethorn squinted at the ropes that ran through the woman's fingers, the small bone-white beads that made up the bulk of her wrist and neck strings, as well as those of her fellow mages, were etched with minuscule ideographs. In between those beads were others, some brown glass inscribed with Yanjingi characters, some white porcelain with heaven blue characters and figures, some carnelian with engraving on the surface. As I said, I am not using magic. Would you do me a favor and be quiet? She asked as patiently as she knew how. The plants tell me how they're doing when I can hear them. Even if I did magic, I strongly doubt that you would detect it, you academic prancer, she thought. Like most ambient mages, Rosethorn had little patience for those who drew their power from their own bodies and worked it through spells, though she had studied academic magic in her youth. Is Nanshur Briar not using magic? An older mage asked. Not only did this man have two long ropes of beads in his hold, but there were spell figures tattooed onto his hands and wrists. Unlike Briar's, this man's tattoos were motionless. Briar lowered his hands. I asked them to stop trying to help Rosethorn. Rosethorn let her own power flow into the bushes, calming the roses. As she suspected, not one of the Yanjingi mages so much as twitched. Ambient magic was not only rare here, it was unknown. She called her power back into herself and looked at Wei Shu. If you would like me to tell you if they are well, I must be able to concentrate, Your Imperial Majesty, she explained. I see you think I am deluded, claiming to hear the voices of plants. Don't your priests hear the voices of ghosts and mountains? Ghosts were once men, and our mountains are ancient, Wei Shu said. Blossoms live but a season, and plants a few years at best. Perhaps some of our oldest trees have voices, or the spirits within them do. But it takes ages for living things to gain the wisdom of human beings. Around them, everyone around them but Briar murmured their agreement. Rosethorn bit her lip rather than call them all fools. Royalty, their pet mages, and their pet nobles seemed to think they knew everything. The mages she was used to dealing with knew instead that they were just beginning to scrape the surface of the world. And what about you? She asked herself as she followed the Emperor along the garden's main path. Weren't you starting to think you had all the answers before Nico brought Briar and the girls to Winding Circle? Before their magic started to combine? We all learned there was no predicting how their power would turn out. We couldn't have guessed that 4 11-year-olds could shape the power of an earthquake, or that one girl's metal flower would take root and bloom in a copper vein of ore, or that those children would pull me back from death itself. I could never have dreamed some of the ways Briar has learned to shape his magic, or Evie hers. I needed shaking up. We all did.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake it us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet @ReadingTemple.
A special thanks to Yellowest for Happy for our artwork.
You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon and Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
So, part three.
This is the part
where we talk about our feelings.
Part three. Quite frankly, I like that. I think we should just stick with that.
Talk about our feelings.
Number three.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.